presence. We ask for your power. We ask for your spirit to move in our hearts now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we had a great trip. Weather was perfect. No rain. Mild temperatures. We took a few side trips. One of them was to Sedona. In this slide, that's the Sedona area, and quite a nice little place to go visit. Again, you know, weather was perfect, as you can see, you know, just a few wisps of clouds, and we just enjoyed driving through that. You know, of course, we're in a 15-foot moving van, which I'll show you a little bit later. And so we just thought, well, we're so close to the Grand Canyon, we want to go to the Grand Canyon. So Sedona was on the way. We took a little dip into there, and then we went to the Grand Canyon. And Kathy took a picture of that because that bench was way too close to the edge. She said to me that she's not going anywhere close to the edge because, you know, if something would happen, a rock breaks off, and I kept assuring her everything had been there for probably 100 years, but that was too close, and so she took a picture of it because we weren't going to sit in it. Anyways, so then you can see next slide was we had to show that we were there. In fact, we didn't just take somebody's pictures and copy them. And somebody took that picture for us while we were standing in front of the Grand Canyon. There were railings there, so she was okay with that. And so we got a little closer. But it was really a great time. I had a lot of fun. At night, we were driving because we decided we would take off in the evening. And so the moon was out, and it was nice out there till we came up to all these cars along the side of the road, and we wondered, what's going on? And this is what we saw. Now, they were on the side of the road, and my eyes went to those that were on the side of the road, and Kathy said, "Stop!" There was a big bull elk, I guess she would say. I didn't even see it very well, but it was right in front of us. And I was distracted to look at the elk on the side, the female elk, whatever they... What's that? Yeah, the cows. Yeah, they call them cows. You could just about touch them. She was hanging out the window, and they're just standing there. So we missed that. Didn't hit that big elk, and they're all over, all the wildlife and everything. So we're driving along, and of course we went through the Grand Canyon. We drove and stayed in a truck that one night, that's what I was doing. I'm going, really? Because Kathy said, let's stay in the truck. Are you sure? I didn't think she'd want to do that. So anyway, she said, yeah. So we pulled off on the side of the road in this one place, and we're trying to sleep in the front seat of the truck, you know. And we had an outhouse close by, and, but we were left pretty well alone and had weird dreams that whole time. And then got up fairly early in the morning and started to drive again and got to another spot where we were looking at the Grand Canyon and different things. And then we took off, and we're driving along, and we're doing all these 2,000 miles we're driving, right? And we get 3 hours from Crandon, just 2 miles west of Soma. And bam, we hit a deer. You know, couldn't have hit an elk. Now, I'd have a story to tell with that. But we get to Wisconsin. And at over a little about 70 miles an hour, I was trying to keep it about 70 because the speed limit was 75 in some places, and this was I-90, and it was just like, you know, people were going 80 on that one, and I'm going 70, and it's 4 a.m. because we stopped at a rest side, a wayside, and we're resting a couple hours, and thought, okay, let's get going. You know, it's 4 a.m. We thought, you know, we can make Crandon and get to sleep early in the morning. We can, you know, sleep all day and just catch up on our rest and everything. And at about 4:20, bam, this deer comes out from nowhere. Yeah, 4 o'clock was it we hit it? It comes out of nowhere, hits the, hit, you know, bam. And bent the bumper into the tire, which didn't blow the tire or anything, just couldn't move. You know, we pulled it off the side of the road, and a trooper came and took the report and everything, called U-Haul, because they have that service, and 4 hours later, we were finally able to leave and get back home. So they had a mix-up. They sent the record into Michigan to pick us up. And when I talked to the guy, because they put us on a three-way conversation, and the guy says, well, it's almost, we'll be there at 7 o'clock. I said, 7 o'clock? It's like 6. He says, where are you? I said, we're in Wisconsin. He said, well, I'm in Michigan. And I said, well, that's not going to work. It'd take you a little longer to get here than I really want you to. You know, so anyways, we got it all straightened out, and finally they got a record to us, and he fixed it out, and we drove home. But now, the point of all this that I wanted to share is, how many people here, you don't have to raise your hand or anything, I don't want you to do that, would ruin your whole vacation just from that one event? You know, we went through this whole vacation, the weather was perfect. Not a problem. The vehicle ran perfectly. And then, bam, the last 3 hours of the trip, get hit by this deer. And I'm going to say hit by the deer because I didn't hit the deer. The deer hit me. 70 miles an hour. Now, what some of the blessings, you know, as we sat there for 4 hours, you know, the Lord was talking, sharing a lot of things with, you know, we're just talking back and forth about things. And we said, you know, it's really amazing to me, because we were in that wayside. If we had left a few minutes later or a few minutes earlier, we probably wouldn't have hit the deer. The deer would have crossed the road, no problem, or crossed behind us. But then we started thinking, then what? Was there something ahead that we didn't know about, that would have been worse? You know, then we started to realize the airbag was off on the passenger side. It probably would have hurt Kathy more than, you know, just hitting the deer, and, you know, because it would have set it off. I'm sure it would have. So that was something we thought, wow, that's weird. And then we started to realize we could have rolled the truck. If I'd have tried to swerve, if I'd have seen it, yeah, or if Kathy was driving, she was intending to drive to Toma and then switch off driving. So I was driving, and I just hit him. Her. It was a her. Sorry. Big dough. But the thing is that then I started to think, well, it could have been disastrous if a small car would have hit it. What if somebody else hit that deer? And we took their place in a big truck. A lot better of an accident than a small car. Small car at 70 miles an hour probably would have killed somebody in the car. So we started to realize that God has a plan. The next slide, you know, is exactly that. He works all things together for good. We may not understand it. We may not figure it out. But it is for the good. The next one, you know, we've been reading this book. Next slide. We've been reading this book together, Kathy and I, and it has some great principles in it. I recommend everyone to get this book. It was given to me to read, and now I bought my own copy, and I did actually share it, send it around to different people. But this book has seven great principles in this book. And one of them, one of the principles that we began to recount and remember as we have been reading this book, is that we all have a choice. We can let adversity shape us, or we can shape adversity. You know that? I mean, adversity can cause all kinds of trouble in our lives. Trials and tribulations can wreak havoc in our lives. But we have a choice, because Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, gave us a choice. Now, I want you to go to Philippians chapter 4, 1787 in your pew Bible, 1787, chapter 4, Philippians. We've read this scripture other times, you know, but in a different context. Chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gladness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now we all know that Paul's in prison. I've shared this before. There wasn't a great place to be. Dark, dingy, wet, rats, you know, all kinds of things going on there. And smelly. You know, they didn't have the outhouse. They didn't have the place, you know, oh, gotta go to the bathroom, open up the jail cell, let them go to the bathroom. They didn't have the toilet there. It was the floor. It was with the corner of the room. That was the way it was in prison. Dark, dingy, nasty. And Paul is saying this. He says, hey, I've chosen to rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again. I've chosen to rejoice. And it's almost like he's saying, rejoice, Paul, rejoice. And he's writing this down. He's saying, I'm going to let my gentleness be known to all people. I'm going to make that choice. And I'm not going to be anxious about my situation, but I'm going to put it to prayer. And I'm going to petition God. And I'm going to give Him thanksgiving. And I'm going to share it with Him and leave it in His hands. And the result of it in verse 7 is that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Now, you really got to catch that, because it's the peace of God. It's not the peace of the world. It's not my peace. It's the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. It's not anything that we... It's a supernatural peace. It's a peace that we cannot get any other way than through God. That's all. That's the only way. And not only is it the peace of God that transcends all understanding, but it also guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It guards you, just like somebody standing guard next to your heart. So, Paul is saying, you give it to the Lord. Choose to rejoice. Choose to pray and give it to Him. And then what you have to do is verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's what we got to direct our attention to. So as we were sitting there, we were thinking about the disaster. I mean, it could be a disaster if we let it. But we weren't thinking about that. We were thinking about, you know, it's just kind of nice to have rest. 4 hours, we just got to sit here. And so, you know, we made use of that. And we didn't want to go to sleep. Jesus even said, put your seatbelt on, because we're watching the cars behind us. You know, they're whizzing by at 70, 80 miles an hour, and they're shaking the truck. And you know, some of them don't move over. Some of them go right past you. At 70, 80 miles, if you'd open the door without looking, it would have been all over. But for some reason, we just had a peace. We weren't shook. It was okay. And we thought, oh, we'll get the bumper bent back. And you know me, I was looking back in the back of the truck. Kathy's going, don't do it! Stay in the truck! I said, no, I got to see if I can bend that thing back. You know, rawr. I got some gloves on. I grabbed hold of the bumper. Ooh, ooh, you know, that thing didn't barely move. I thought I was strong. I had to wait. There was nothing I could do. And so, it's okay, Lord. Close the back, lock it back up, get back in the truck, and just wait. And I kept looking in the rearview mirror, and just when I least expected it, here comes the tow truck. Pulled it out, drove away. We have to choose these things. We have to choose to give it to the Lord. We have to choose to turn it around, to be joyful. David said these things. I'm going to read a couple of them, then we're going to turn to one of them. David said in Psalm 3:6, he says, "I will not fear. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side." This was the situation where Absalom wanted to take the throne. You know, back in those days, if you wanted to be king, you had to kill the king. Because you didn't know how long he was going to live. You know, everybody's going, "Long live the king!" And you're going, "No, I don't want to be king. Not long live the king." Well, Absalom, he wanted the throne. That was David's son. And he knew, "I could be the king. I could be the next king. And I want to be king. But David's not dying. I got to do something about that." And so Absalom sought to kill David. David, instead of fighting back, ran. But he says this, "I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side." Even though it looks like a hopeless cause, "I will not fear. I choose not to fear." In chapter 4, or Psalm 4, verse 8, it says, "I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." How many times do we have restless sleep? How many times do we have things running through our heads that we just can't shake? And David says, "I will lie down and sleep in peace." He's got people after him. He's got people seeking to die, to kill him, and it's his own family. "I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." I want you to go to, it's neat page number 777. 777, that's Psalm 9. I want you to go there. We'll read a couple of verses in this one. Psalm 9. David says, "I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." You know, again, he's confronted with enemies. But he says, I will choose to praise you with all my heart, Lord. I choose to tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I choose this. I will sing praise to your name because I choose to do so. When we come here to church, we have choices. We can choose to sit in the pews and grumble about our lives and maybe the things that have happened in our lives. Or we can choose to praise God. All the trials in the world, all the heartaches and all the hardships in the world that happen to us does not change who God is. Do you know that? God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Jesus is that same person. He hasn't changed a bit. He loves us and cares for us. The Bible tells us that. And we see through the world and some of the things that go here that He does. Sometimes it gets a little bit clouded up because of the trials and things we go through. But that's what we need to choose to do, what it says here. Is that hypocritical? No, I don't believe so. I believe these are things that God wants to shape our hearts, and so we need to act them out. You know, there's a lot of people out there that do success, books and other things, and they say, if you want to be a millionaire, hang around with a millionaire. If you want to be a positive person, hang around with positive people. It's where you are hanging out. 1 Corinthians 15, there's a scripture in there that says, "Bad company corrupts good morals." You know that? If you hang around with bad people, You're going to be bad. I'll guarantee it. I've seen it over and over again. Good people, Christian people, people who want to follow the Lord, and then they go hang out with the people who don't. And pretty soon they're doing the same things the people they don't, that they're hanging around with, they're doing. It's a principle of life. It's a principle that God incorporated in us. He says, you need to sing songs of praise. You need to sing songs of positive things. You need to think about these things. When you do, your mind and heart are shaped to do positive things. It's all about that. And as you study the scriptures, you incorporate those positive things in your life. There was a guy that said, you know, read Psalm 23 over and over again every day. Read it two or three times every day. He said, believe me, it'll start changing your life. And it does. They're all choices that we make. By the power of God Almighty, through His Holy Spirit, we can choose joy, victory, and praise. And the result of those is peace. Peace that passes all understanding, to guard your heart and minds. But you have to apply the principle. You have to devote yourself and keep your eyes focused on Him and fill your life with positive things. And when you do that, you'll change. I can guarantee that. And you can come back to me if that guarantee doesn't work. But I'll guarantee also that if you don't do these things, that you're not going to be positive. You're not going to be following a right path. Well, communion, it directs our attention to the Lord. And that's what we're here for. I'd like us to just take a moment, have a word of prayer. And then we'll have the deacons come up and we'll pass the elements out.